Several years ago, in conversation with a Hong Kong seminary student, I asked her about the role of women in the Hong Kong churches. She said that the pastor normally largely determines the ministries that women perform in a congregation. Her own pastor had asked her to preach on several different occasions, which she had done several times. But she said that she was reluctant to do so on any regular basis, but for a reason that might surprise you. Her reservation was not about being a woman filling a traditional man's role. Her deepest concern was her unworthiness as a struggling Christian disciple to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so she said, "I do not feel that I can preach what I am not yet able to live. That causes me great stress when I stand before the church as a speaker for God." Now, who among us has not had that experience? So I shared a text with her, one that is the Word of God for us today. We're in a similar kind of self-reflection. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:7 said, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us." There it is, treasure in earthen vessels. The very paradox of the Christian ministry. Who among us has not known both the burden and the glory of being an earthen vessel for the eternal treasure given to us by God? Both sides of this text must inform our self-understanding and our approach to how we function in Christian ministry. Treasure in earthen vessels. We must remember at the same time the tension that is involved as we earthen vessels bear the glory of this eternal treasure. We ordinary human beings in the process of transformation, who are privileged to bear the treasure. Treasure in earthen vessels. Paul was himself his own prime illustration. If we are ever tempted to deify Paul, then his own transparent confession in the Corinthian correspondence will quickly stop us. Here the best and the worst of Paul is exposed: his greatness and littleness, his generosity and petulance, his aspirations to humility and temptations to pride, his faith and hope in God, and his awareness of the negative dimensions of his still being redeemed self. Nowhere else in the New Testament is the contrast more sharply drawn between the glory of the gospel and the humanity of the minister. Paul knew exactly what he was speaking of. Throughout the Corinthian letters, he tells us very plainly what it means to be an earthen vessel. The greatest of the apostles exposes himself as fully human, a disciple still on the way. He speaks of his physical body, his physical unattractiveness, his physical weakness, the sword, the thorn in his side. He alludes to his style of ministry, his lack of public presence or eloquence, his having to struggle to maintain his own apostolic authority, is having to work to support his own ministry. He feels stress in trying to do justice to the splendor of the gospel. He repeatedly recalls his many persecutions and jailings and beatings. He bears anguished memories of his past persecution of the Jewish church. He is candidly honest about his own emotional and spiritual struggles. He had experienced weaknesses, hardships, insults, sufferings, afflictions, calamities, and occasional rejection by the very people whom he had birthed and served. He had been perplexed, anguished, unbearably crushed, and cried so many tears that at times he despaired of life itself. He lays bare his moral tension, his inability always to do the good he desires and to avoid the sin that he rejects. He had not yet arrived at the goal of perfection. In referring to himself as the chief of sinners, Paul is the consummate portrait of that odd character of redemption. The closer we get to God, the more aware we are of our sins. Paul knew himself, an earthen vessel in whom the power of God was at work. But what about us? Deep within, we know that dark side too. We know what it means to be an earthen vessel. Let me suggest four characteristics of an earthen vessel that dominate who we are and how we function. The first is our embodiedness. We are in a physical body. Paul's language at every point indicates his awareness that he was embodied in a mortal body composed of material stuff. Like everything else in the created universe, we are inhabitants of the continuum of space-time. We are vulnerable, psychophysical creatures who are born, grow, eat, procreate, get tired, get sick, age, and die. Our bodies determine many things about us. We come out of a particular genetic stream that powerfully shapes who we are and how we function physically, mentally, emotionally, and socially. Our bodies are a part of who we are as humans made in the image of God. In redemption, our bodies are temples of the Spirit and bearers of the treasure. So Paul reminds us that we are to exercise physical care and spiritual discipline over the body if we're to be effective ministers. Our bodies are temples of the Spirit, but they're also points where the dark forces can invade us and drive us toward values that clash with our calling as Christian ministers. We may be seduced by sensuality, preoccupied with outward appearance, captivated by a quest for material things. Paul, aware of the vulnerability of our bodies to the pull of sinful flesh, says, "I beat my body and I subdue it, lest having preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." We are embodied. A second characteristic of our finitude is of our humanity and being an earthen vessel is our finitude. Every earthen vessel is in this place and not that, in this time and not that. It is bounded and limited in what it can do, both in quantity and in quality. Much in life is not within our control. So a part of our accepting our status as earthen vessels is in recognizing our limitations and simply admitting that we are not God. Now that's bad news for many of us. Many of us try repeatedly to overreach our finitude with a pretension of our God Almightiness. Subtle pride and hubris always crouch in the background, ready to seize any of us whose calling and gifts puts us out there in the public spotlight. Paul dealt with people like this in his own generation. Ministers who went around claiming to be superlative apostles. Whenever we stand, as many of us do, in front of large crowds, it is very easy to succumb to delusions of grandeur. Not only to try to take total control of our own lives as though we're God ourselves, but to try to take control of the lives of other people as well. Such an overreaching of our finitude will inevitably lead to a fall from authentic ministry, as surely as it did from innocence in the garden. We are finite and imperfect creatures, and a part of our making peace with that is to recognize our limitations and simply admit that we are not God. Let's get it straight. Finitude means that we do not know everything and we cannot do everything. None of us can do everything well. And so we have to admit to ourselves, we may not be a profound theologian or an eloquent preacher or a skilled evangelist or an effective administrator or a sensitive counselor or a charismatic leader. Paul said of himself, even if I am unskilled in speaking, I am not in knowledge. So to discover our strengths and make peace with our limitations is a part of accepting our status as earthen vessels. Now, of course, the final exclamation point of our finitude is our mortality. Earthen vessels come to be and they pass away. Paul appears to live daily with his own death, the end of his own life, in mind. To put it bluntly, we're going to die and we don't know when. And when we understand that our finite mortality will lead us to try to live each day to its fullest, making the most of every opportunity as time will allow, making the very most of our time, knowing that the end is short, always living in view of the end. Our finitude means that we do our very best for God today. We are finite and limited earthen vessels. But as earthen vessels, we also live in society. We are social creatures. We live in the world, always pulled and drawn toward its values and its fallenness. Even within the church, we live among imperfect people who are not always as nice and desirable as we might want them to be. Conflict, misunderstanding, critical attitudes, even harmful intention can invade and possess some of the people of God. We may even discover what Paul experienced, what it means to be bruised and neglected and hurt and rejected by the people that we serve. But now listen to me. Let's get it straight. That is a two-way street. That is a two-way street. None of us can live in the ebb and flow of life without making our own contributions to the dark side of the human situation, of contributing our own mistakes to the breakdown of community, so that we can both cause as well as bear scars from human conflict. At times, we may even feel sorry for ourselves and go into a dreaming flight of fancy about some utopian world where everybody is perfect and no stresses and strains are experienced. in your wildest dreams. That will happen only in heaven. As for now, we live in the midst of the brokenness of human relationships. And finally, our status as earthen vessels means that we are flawed and we are imperfect. We all make mistakes and fall short and often hurt when we actually meant to help. It's not just that we are sinners, it's also that we have our individual flaws and limitations, our limited capacities, our doubts, our temptation to take the hand from the plow, our lack of self-discipline, our misuse of time, our squandering of opportunities, our shoddy workmanship in ministry, our failure to develop our talents and abilities and spiritual gifts to their outside limit. We all know what it is to experience this kind of flaw and imperfection, even at our best. All of us at times cast dark shadows upon the sparkling beauty of the treasure that we bear within. We are flawed and imperfect. And once we come to understand that as earthen vessels, we are driven to confess our sins, to ask for and receive forgiveness, and to be in a continuing relationship of reconciliation with God and with other people. We are bearers of the treasure, but we are unworthy bearers of the treasure. And if nothing else, the recognition that we are earthen vessels ought to save us from posturing about perfection, or role-playing some stock, unreal, ministerial image before the world. We are earthen vessels. Well, we're earthen vessels, but we must never, never forget that we do bear the treasure. The treasure, and Paul's words, the light of the glory of God on the face of Jesus Christ. The treasure, the pearl of great price, the inexpressible gift, the water of life, the bread of everlasting life, the light, the word, the good news that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It is a treasure that money cannot buy, virtue cannot earn, desiring cannot secure. It is pure gift. The gift comes to us first in our salvation. When Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, comes into our personality and begins a lifelong transforming process of making us into the children of God. And it is with us throughout the whole experience of our lives as Christians, as we increasingly incarnate the Christ presence and the Christ power into our own personalities. Paul says to those of us who are earthen vessels, no matter what our stage of development, no matter what our flaws and sins and failures, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. We're being changed into his likeness from one glory to another. We are earthen vessels, but we bear the glorious treasure of God. And the treasure comes to us in our calling as ministers. We become stewards of the treasure. That really has to do with the totality of our ministry experience. It has to do with presence and deed and word. For one thing, to be ministers, stewards of the gospel, we bear the presence of the treasure itself in the person of Jesus Christ. Paul indicated that in this presence, we have the Spirit of God not only transforming us, but empowering us so that, as he puts it in his own words, we are the aroma of Christ to God, to those who are being saved, and to those who are perishing. We must be faithful to the presence of Christ as we appear to others before the world. But as earthen vessels and bearers of the treasure, we also are responsible for our deeds. We are to live the treasure. And that's much more difficult. Many of us would prefer to speak the word rather than to do the word. To do the word requires that we become imitators of the path of Jesus. Adopt a style of a suffering servant. Learn how to take the back seat. We must radically abandon ourselves to the grace of God and to the radical openness of the horizon into which Christ leads us wherever he may lead us, anywhere out there in the world. We are to do the treasure, and we are to speak the treasure. We're to put it into words. We're to tell it before the world. We are to interpret the gospel to the people of God and to those who have yet to hear throughout the ends of the earth. And we are to be faithful stewards of the gospel, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul says we should not be workers who are ashamed. We need not be workers who are ashamed. We are to speak the word. Now the problem is, when we do that at our best, in our Christian living and in our Christian ministry, we still fall short at every turn of the high expectations demanded by the glory of the gospel itself. Even if with our best abilities applied, we fall short of what the gospel itself is. But to understand the calling in our ministry is to give to God our best abilities and to make our best efforts to ensure that we do not distort or obscure or to do injustice to the treasure to the very best of our abilities. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, how do you get those two together? How do you get them together? Why me? I've often asked myself, why me? Why should I be a minister of the gospel? I'm not good enough, bright enough, gifted enough, charismatic enough, spiritual enough. Why me? Why me, a minister of the gospel? Has any sensitive, self-reflective minister not at times ask oneself that very question? It is a great mystery that the eternal God would choose to preach and teach the gospel of his Son through people like us. Why me, a minister? Paul, when thinking about that himself, simply said, therefore we have this ministry by the mercy of God. There it is. Grace. It is pure grace. Our salvation, our calling, our specific ministries, it is pure, unbounded grace. And if we understand that, then the words of the text of this morning can offer us at least two words of encouragement in our Christian life and in our Christian ministry. The first word is that we did not choose him, but he chose us to be his servants. And in case we think he chose us because of our virtues or our gifts, Paul comes very straight to the point. He chose people like us, limited, weak, foolish, minimally gifted, precisely in order to show that the transcendent power of the gospel is God's and it is not ours, and that the glory of any achievement is God's and it is not ours. He chose us. We did not choose him. And that's an odd twist in the divine scheme of things. The earthen vessel really is important, but for reasons we would never guess. We're important precisely because in our weakness and foolishness, the glory of the transcendent God and the power of the gospel may be made known. That's the first word. And the second word of encouragement is that we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Christ crucified. If you ever stop to think about it, you don't have to be very sensitive to know that we must never confuse the earthen vessel and the treasure that it bears. No matter how good our earthen vessel, it will always fall short of the glory of the gospel itself. And in that sense, we need to simply bow and recognize our limitations and our humanities, knowing that however much we achieve in the Christian life, the gospel always transcends us and it stands in judgment over us. And frankly, once we understand that, then this text ought to be good news for people like us and for the young woman in the Hong Kong seminary. Because what it does, it allows us to relax in our being redeemed humanity, to avoid the pretensions of grandeur and greatness that sometimes seize some people inside of the ministry. It allows us to have great gratitude for being called by God in conversion and in ministry to be the bearers of this treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And once we understand that, we understand that there is no greater glory and there is no greater burden available to human beings. Life has no greater privilege than to be an earthen vessel for this eternal treasure. And for that, may we all give thanks to God, those of us who are twice blessed with the treasure, in salvation and in calling. Don't ever forget, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Thanks be to God.